Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I blame Mark James for everything that's happening wrong in the world right now. Okay, everything. The pay disparity of the women's soccer team.
Yep, Mark James.
Mark James. Is always Mark James.
How do you think I feel? I do Saturdays with him. I've done a couple shifts this week in the mornings with him.
Well,
good luck.
I'm sensitive.
Dale Arnold.
I grew up with old school players like Lawrence Taylor, Ronnie Lott, and Dick Buckus.
Let's go back to 1955.
Badass men.
So badass.
So it's hard to hear Tom Brady talk about his kale juice.
Star for attention, fame-seeking loser.
It is male Uggs.
All right, guys. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
Rich Keith.
Does anybody love Mark James?
Lame name James?
Mark James.
I know some people. I like Mark.
That's a lot.
He seems like a nice guy.
He's a weirdo.
He's a good guy.
And he backs down immediately.
Seems like a nice challenge.
Doffed his I heard the first floor, and I think one man.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he's afraid you're probably just going to, like, break him in half.
Yes, sir.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
First of all, let me correct one thing. By the way, great, really good job there, Eamon. Don't think I won't remember that one. Back down immediately? What are you talking about?
When you said you'd never work with me.
No. But that,
and
it's
this
not
week
the paycheck.
Begged me to be in.
Begged
me.
Paycheck.
Oh, I'm doing a show with Reamer. Can you please do the morning show with me on Tuesday?
Dude, I wouldn't go that far. I just said, listen, I will admit the one part of radio where you do need three voices is the morning.
Yes.
Middays, you can have take it or leave it. Afternoons, take it or leave it. But you do in the morning because it is a grind in the morning. When that alarm clock goes off at 4:15, it is like, holy freaking crap. I mean, I have had whole newfound appreciation. I've done morning radio before. Jerry Callahan's done it in this spot. I don't know if he hasn't done mornings the entire time. He's been here like 25 years, but he's done mornings for at least 18 years, I don't want to say.
Probably explains why he's so cranky.
Yeah, you would too. It is a grind. And you just, it becomes a lifestyle.
Right.
You just know that. And like, what do you do when the Red Sox World Series games are going to 2 in the morning and you got to wake up 2 hours later?
Right.
Yeah.
That's why, have you seen those commercials? They have like medication for like shift workers that work overnights and stuff because it screws with your whole
body clock.
Body clock,
your
psyche, everything. He's probably got a little of that.
Oh, man. I mean, after that long, then you got to deal with mutt?
Right.
No
wonder you call everybody maggots.
Yeah, no doubt. Free ticket Thursday coming up at 12:30. We'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Blue Jays next Tuesday, and a parking pass, which is key, of course, because we all know how expensive parking can be around Fenway Park. Tony La Russa will join us next segment. I'm just, like, befuddled that, you know, now there's talk that the Red Sox are looking at Mets starter Zach Wheeler, who had a much better year a year ago. And he's a guy who's a strikeout artist, but to be sort of that fourth or fifth starter in the Red Sox rotation. But yet, here we are on July 11th, and the Red Sox still do not have a designated, bona fide, legitimate closer.
Eovaldi.
Who has as many saves as you and me.
Well, you know, that's a negative thought.
Well, he's zero saves.
Maybe it's untapped potential.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe he could be the next Dennis Eckersley or John Smoltz, going
stuff,
from a starter.
Right?
To a bull.
What do you need to be a closer? You need stuff.
But he hasn't been able to stay on the field healthy this year.
That's the negative view again.
No, but I mean, I'm serious. He hasn't been able to stay. So now he's going to come in, and maybe that's why. Okay, we don't put him in as a starter, but they say that it's almost becomes tougher. See, when you're a starter, you're in the mindset, I only have to work once every 5 days, right?
Right.
You're a closer. You can work tonight. You can work tomorrow night. You can work the night after, and it's like you've got to be ready, and you never know when your number's going to call. So it's a whole different mindset, and the Red Sox find themselves 9 games behind the Yankees in the AL East simply because Dave Dombrowski decided to not have a closer. I'm incredulous that here we are on this date, and if I'm the Red Sox, I'm looking after going after. You talk about a team who's looking to sell. The San Francisco Giants have will reportedly unload Will Smith, their closer, who's one of the best in the game.
Yep.
Okay? If you're the Red Sox, why are you not trying to acquire? Because the Giants are done. They for whatever reason, they can't. They have not been able to turn this thing around since they won the World Series last in 2014. They've hit a wall there in San Francisco. If I'm Dave Dombrowski, I'm looking at that guy to coming here and saving this team from the horror show of being the second worst bullpen in baseball, 18 blown saves by the All-Star.
I'm not going to get into particular situations.
Particulars. So what are you giving up? Because the other issue is, what do you have in the system?
J.D. Martinez right now. You have J.D. Martinez, but if you're San Francisco, they don't want J.D. Martinez because they know that he's they're not contending. They want somebody on the farm. They
so
want
a rental
probably,
with an opt-out?
They want Chavis. They probably want a young guy.
I'm not doing that.
No, you're not going to do that right now. It's like almost like the Red Sox version of Jason Tatum is Michael Chavis to a certain extent. I don't think he's that good yet as Tatum will be, or Tatum was his rookie year, but he's pretty damn good. And I'm not willing to give up. You don't have anybody in the farm system to give up to get a guy like Will Smith. So now it becomes, you going to give up Rafael Devers? Hell no.
Nope.
He's the best player on the team. I'm not giving up Devers. You give up Bogarts?
Signed Bogarts.
I know.
No.
Well, that's just it. And that therein becomes the
These trades are supposed to be, as you get to the middle of the season, the trade deadline, it's prospects for proven players, right? That's just generally the way right. It works. Some contender is looking for a closer or a starter or a bat, and they give up prospects to get it. And the other team has decided, we're not winning. We don't need this guy long term. We want prospects. We want a guy that's going to help me next year, the year after, 2 years, that is a blue chip player. So who's that? Because all I hear, I am not going to pretend to be an expert on the minor league system of the Red Sox, but all you hear is it's one of the worst in baseball.
It's a ranked
And this is
last.
What Dombrowski
DFL.
Does, is he trades yep. young prospects for proven talent. Well, is he out of young prospects to trade for proven talent if they indeed are all in on this year? That's the other question. You know, are they going to be all in? I know these came early, these rumors that Wheeler and they're going to get a starter, and maybe they're getting a starter because Evaldi's the plan at closer, which you clearly have some, I think, warranted
hesitation. Well, he's just
never hesitation.
Done it before. Right. He's just never done. I mean, you want a guy, like when you're a team who, and the Red Sox clearly don't buy into the Bill Belichick principle of they believe that they're defending the title. So if you're defending your World Series title, to go into a season without a closer is almost somewhat similar to an NFL team not going in with a legitimate best quarterback. We're just going to throw someone out there. We'll be quarterback by committee. QB
sure.
by committee.
I would probably go kicker there. You have the best team in football, and you decide to go into a season without a kicker.
I think a closer is more important than a kicker.
I do, too, but it's still a role where you have to put yourself in position to use the role. If you just stink, then you never get to the closer, right? And if you just stink, then you're never in position for a game-winning field goal or a key kick late. But a team can be derailed. How about those Randy Moss Vikings, right? Mm-hmm. Or the Bears. Look at a Bears team that is just bad kicking. And now they're bringing in everybody and everybody to try to find a kicker. And it's similar. There's some mental makeup involved. There's some, you want a guy that's proven he can do it as a closer that has the stones to be. So yeah, it would be, or remember a couple years ago when Belichick talked about the Colts being irresponsible for not having a backup when Peyton Manning got hurt and they ended up going down the suck for luck
Curtis
road and the whole
Painter.
Team. Right.
Yes.
And he said that it was irresponsible because you just can't go into a season without that role. That's what this, to some degree, is.
It
and I know
like
it's
it.
New age baseball, and they've dabbled in this area in various times because, yeah, you can put things together in the postseason in a different way. But I still and always will be of the belief that during 162, you need a closer.
You have
a guy
to.
Who knows what he's doing. Everyone knows when you get in the situation in the ninth, who's warming up, who's coming in. He's done it before. He may not be perfect. He may not be the best closer in the hit, but everybody knows sort of what the roles are, and it all falls into place. When you don't have one, A, you don't have a good one.
Right.
And B, you got everybody else wondering, well, am I the closer tonight, or what's my role tonight? Am I eighth? Am I seventh? What am I doing? What should I be thinking about down the road? It just leaves a massive hole on your team.
And when you talk about that, and you've blown 18 games already this year, the bullpen has blown it, that now – here's the thing, the big question is that the starters are getting rattled. Chris Sale has completely lost his confidence. He's come out in the record and said, I'm an embarrassment to my family. It's like, it's a little harsh,
a little
buddy.
Strong.
A little strong.
But I enjoy the passion.
Okay, fair enough. But now the Red Sox, the starting rotation isn't producing the way that we thought it would. And you're seeing the inconsistency constantly with this team where we thought that, all right, hey, don't worry about the starters. They'll be fine. Well, Nathan Eovaldi, the guy you just gave $17 million a year to, he's right now, he can't even stay on the freaking field. So that's a problem. The Red Sox starting rotation as we speak right now in baseball, and I can guarantee you they did not think it was going to be like this prior to the season. They're 18th in baseball right now. So if you're going to, and you're, every team is only as good as their starting five rotation, that's pathetic. And that is why, along with, forget about the bullpen, we're even just getting to the starting rotation that they're not doing their job, then that coincides with the bullpen. And it's like, well, this is why this team doesn't, it's not last year. It's not last year to win no matter what you threw against the wall if you're Alex Cora. It's stuck. Everything just, Evan Drellick goes, I've never seen a team, Drellick talked about last year covering them, and like as many bonehead decisions that they made off the field or during the game on the field, everything just worked out.
Right.
It was just a magic carpet ride, and the Red Sox could do no wrong. This year, it's the exact opposite where, 18 blown saves by the All-Star break. When Craig Kimbrell was here, and the grand total of the three seasons he was here in Boston, he only blew 11. Right. Now you've already got 18 blown saves.
Your 1-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
Saves to blown saves. You got 18 saves, you've blown 18.
So you flip
18.
A coin.
Unreal.
You flip a coin
that
right now.
That is unreal. And you're supposed to be big market, $250 million payroll, Boston Red Sox, defending champions, all of that. And you have a flip of the coin when you go to the ninth inning with a lead in a close game, a save situation. That is. And I get back to, as much as you expected this year to not be perfect, because it's baseball. You're not going to have two back-to-back seasons where everything goes right and you can overcome every mistake because you're just playing so well. But you have reason why this could have been an uptick season, right? There are positives. Christian Vasquez's evolution as a hitter, where he's now a DH. He's a guy that DHs because his bat you want his bat in the lineup on occasion. Or Michael Chavis, the guy we just talked about. You didn't know you were going to get him to add some pop. The way Devers has ascended from good bat to great bat, as you know, hitting the ball as hard as anybody in baseball, if you believe some of those exit velocity numbers and some of the things he's been able to do at the plate. And I know
the best player on the team.
I know some things have gone down. You have Mookie Betts, whose average is down 70 points. But there are reasons why this could have been an uptick season, and yet the pitch, it's the pitching staff. That's the bulk of the issue. Your starting pitchers are not anywhere near pitching to their resumes, paychecks, whatever you want to call it, between Sale, Porcello, those guys. And then the lack of a closer and the lack of just known roles and consistency in the bullpen.
And every year, and I think even John Henry said this when Rob Bradford caught up with him in London during the London series against the Yankees. John Henry said that he believes that a team, you know, should look somewhat different every year. And okay, Joe Kelly and Craig Kimbrell are gone, fine. And I didn't want to give Kimbrell $17 million a year. I thought that was way over the top. But give somebody something. So you at least say, okay, well, we brought in a closer, and even if the guy doesn't live up to expectations, can't cut it in Boston, sucks, can't deal with the pressure, but at least you tried to bring someone who is just, okay, this is your role. You're the closer of this team. You're going to be to us this year what Craig Kimbrell was the 3 years that he was here, what Jonathan Papelbon used to be, Keith Foulke. You're going to be this guy that we're going to rely on from now until the end of the year, and we're going to stick with you no matter what. And just to, I thought there was a lot of hubris by Dave Dombrowski that went into this season, that just, and I thought the emotional attachment contracts, giving Steve Pierce $6.5 million a year, giving Nathan Eovaldi $17 million a year, a $68 million contract overall, that could have gone to a closer. You could have given that money to a guy that could come in and basically rectify these issues that are ongoing. And it's like, here we are, and it's late July, and they're still in the same spot that they were. And you can't, you know, Craig Kimbrell's not walking through that door. And if he does, he's wearing a Cubs uniform.
Correct.
Because Theo Epstein just got him.
All that being said, they're two games out of the playoffs, right? The sky has not fallen.
It has not.
It feels bad, and I think the negative tone around the team is actually worse than the on-field product, the where you are in the standings. You're a hot streak away from being,
of course,
sitting pretty, right?
Right, right.
Being in the wild card spot.
And Cleveland, they were talking about the other night during the All-Star game, Cleveland was considering selling, but now they got back in it. So all of a sudden now they're not going to be dealing away some of their parts that now they're back in it. They're ahead of the Red Sox right now in the playoffs. So, no, you're right on the precipice of getting back in the playoff race. But if over the next couple of weeks you get off to a bad start out of this break.
And that's the problem. We talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
Coming out of the break, when I do think you're on the clock, both in terms of the deadline and just trying to stay relevant in the Boston sports scene, you have a difficult schedule. You have the Dodgers coming up. You have the Rays and the Yankees coming up. Now, you do have Baltimore in there. You should hopefully take three of those games from the Orioles. But it's not by the 31st, you have played Tampa in two series, the Yankees in two series. I mean, the Dodgers. You have an uphill battle to prove by August 1st that you are worthy of being a World Series contender.
Well, here's the Yankees. They haven't won a title in a decade. Okay? They haven't been in the World Series in a decade. How are they in such a better position? Forget about this season. This season, it looks like it's their year. They acquired the American League home run leader, Edwin Encarnacion from Seattle, and to go with Judge, Hicks, Gregorius, Sanchez, they're loaded. Now there's talk that the Yankees are in, they're looking for bullpen help. How did they get into a position where they're going to be, they're set up from now for the next 5 to 7 years where it looks like this Red Sox window of opportunity is closing as we speak, in a sense that JD Martinez, he can opt out after this year. It looks like that he's going to at least do that from a business standpoint. He wants to be in Boston. I believe him. But now Mookie Betts has another year left. And then if he doesn't agree to a long-term deal, everybody expects him to pull a Kyrie Irving and move. And credit to Mookie, he didn't come out and say, I'm going to resign here. So he didn't do that. I expect Mookie to be gone after next season.
So maybe he'll be the anti-Kyrie. We'll all get the feeling he's leaving, and then he'll just
maybe
at
he'll
the
say,
end of it resign for
we don't know that. So then all of a sudden now you just gave Chris Sale $145 million. He's getting nearly $30 million a year. This team is not set up for the long haul like the Yankees are, who stood pat, didn't give Machado $300 million, didn't give Bryce Harper $350 million. Now the Yankees are the team who look like, oh, they're...
Well, they did give Stanton $300 million. They made that deal.
They
it looks like they would prefer to not have that on the books.
Probably
right now. He's always hurt and he's always striking out.
Yeah, Stanton
is a tease.
Yeah, he's a tease.
Yeah, I wanted him. I'm not going to be a fraud.
No, of course.
I like home runs. I wanted him. I wanted to see him hit bombs at Fenway.
Oh, we all did. But now he's having trouble staying healthy. But guess what? They haven't needed Stanton all season long. Their ace pitcher, Luis Severino, hasn't pitched one inning this year. And look at where they are. They're sitting pretty.
Yep.
Now, granted, still, yeah, you got 72 games or whatever to go. But the Yankees are set up for not only this season, but for the long term, while the Red Sox are struggling to get the second wild card. How did everything from last year that went so right this year get so wrong? That's the question that I have.
Bad decisions. I mean, that's the bottom line, is it gets back to, and I don't know if you follow many Yankees fans on Twitter. I have some Yankees fans that make their way into my timeline, and
okay,
they just destroy Cashman. Just destroy him, and I'm like, what are you looking for?
He's the best GM in baseball over the last 20 years.
Look at what he's done.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody makes mistakes, and yeah, you bring on contracts, you look back on a year later and say, I wish I had. But as you pointed out, they have current talent, they have young talent. They are set up pitching-wise. Their bullpen is stacked,
loaded,
and they're
going
to continue to add to it.
Yep.
They have stars that don't even contribute, stars that don't even play. I don't know how you can look at the summation of what Cashman has done and criticize him, because I would say he's done the job you want a guy to do.
Best general manager in baseball for the last 20 years, hands down. He's done it. And yeah, they've, back in the day when they kept trying to throw money at things when George was alive, you know, Kevin Brown, Randy Johnson, Jarrett Wright, you know, going at Gary Sheffield when he was sort of the tail end of his career, but he was still good. Then they got A-Rod. A-Rod was great for them. He won an MVP, won a World Series, but some of those other ones, they didn't work out. They kept throwing money at their problem. Oh, Jason Giambi.
Yep.
That was the one that really, oh boy, that didn't work out. But now it's almost like I expected when last season stopped, I expected the Yankees, like after last season, the offseason, they're going to get Machado or Harper or both.
Right.
didn't get either.
Right.
Didn't get either. I'm like, well, what are they doing there? Well, apparently, that was the best things that they never did because they don't need them. How's Manny Machado doing right now? How's San Diego? They got close to a losing record, and they're out of the playoffs right now. They don't need them. Look at the Phillies and Bryce Harper. They're contending for a wild card spot, but he didn't even make the All-Star game. So Bryce Harper has not panned out the way, giving this guy a 13-year deal, whatever the Phillies did. By year eight, he'll be playing in a Las Vegas slow-pitch softball league.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll be out.
He had his career over already.
In 8 years, probably.
Yeah, I think so, too. I have this theory
about
his
swing. Well, he won't be in
Philly. I have this theory about his swing is there's too much torque on his back, and he's a massive injury just waiting to
happen. Oh, absolutely. And he's always hampered. You never see Trout being hurt.
Right.
You always see Harper being hurt. So the Red Sox find themselves in this position where everything that was going so right in 2018 hasn't gone that right in 2019, and herein lies now you're contending for a wild card spot, the second wild card spot with the Rays, Rangers, and Indians, and the Oakland A's, an Oakland A's team that has a fraction, and a Tampa Bay Rays team that have a fraction of the payroll that the Red Sox do, which is crazy. We will have Tony La Russa coming up next, the front office report, plus you're going to want to get ready. It's Free Ticket Thursday. We have a chance. You'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Toronto next Tuesday and a free parking pass. So stay tuned. We'll give you the number. It's not the normal call-in number. We'll give that to you next. Tony La Russa is coming up next with the front office report. But first, it's time for trending.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to more of Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back on Dale and Keith. Mark James, Andy Hart here with you as the Red Sox get ready for the second half of the season, which starts tomorrow night against the back-to-back National League champion Los Angeles Dodgers. And, you know, this Dodgers team, I mean, Cody Bellinger has been just arguably the best player in baseball. He and Christian Yelich, the years that they're having. And I can tell you right now, it looks like the Dodgers are going to the World Series for the third straight year. Now,
yes,
it's going to be tough because you got the Braves, you got the Cubs. The Cubs are coming on and they're doing everything they can. But I will tell you right now, man, if the odds on favorite, if I'm down at Twin River Casino, I would put my money on any team coming out of the NL and the Dodgers just because they've been there. They know what it's like. It just seems like they can't win it, but they can get there.
Knocking on the door of being the Buffalo Bills, though, a little bit here. Right? Looking for a third straight World Series trip, but not a victory yet, not a ring yet.
Right. No ring. So therein lies
and
that.
By the way, Cody Bellinger, did you see? He's going down the marketing road. We were talking about all the marketing earlier. He, and I'm drawing a blank now on who the other player was, did a sort of a remake of the old McDonald's Bird versus Jordan horse game. And
yes,
they were doing it with hitting things, and you had to put it in the nachos in the outfield. And, you know, it was fun. I don't know if any of these things work, if any of these things really will resonate, but they're trying a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, they are. And you would think it, too, with Mike Trout. Now, I know he's in Anaheim, which is Orange County, but you're still considered LA.
Right.
Okay. So you're still considered that, but whether or not that he can get more advertisements there in LA, and I'm sure Cody Bellinger is certainly loving being in LA. All right, joining us right now, the front office report brought to you by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network, the man, four-time manager of the year, baseball Hall of Famer, and of course, three-time World Series champion back in 89 with the A's, and of course, did it twice with the St. Louis Cardinals, and right now is the consultant to Dave Dombrowski. Tony La Russa also joins us here on Dale and Keefe. Tony, Mark, and Andy here with you. Good to have you here with us. So I just want to ask the question that we get all the time from a lot of callers is that if the Red Sox didn't want to go with Craig Kimbrell and pay him all that money, why was there not a bona fide closer for this team going into the season?
Well, I think that the decision, I think it was a smart decision, was that you put a lot of resources behind our starting rotation, not just for this year, but for several years forward. Now, the point of the starting rotation, and this is something that I think will be true in the second half of the season, is the starting rotation. The best way to win is still for the starter to go into the last third of the game, get through six into the seventh. And the point I'm making is, you know, we haven't done that in the first half of the year. You know, for whatever reasons, we've had a couple of setbacks here and there. And we're mostly getting like five innings, which has really stressed the bullpen. When we get our starters to get deeper, mm-hmm. then you'll see the guys that are out there that when they've been fresh and not having been worn out, they're capable of finishing the game. And a lot of us are very excited that Nathan Eovaldi is going to be part of that.
Hey, Tony, when you look at this team this year, and you mentioned the starters not being able to go real deep, there's obviously reports out there that the Red Sox could be looking at a starter. There's a report out there, Zach Wheeler from the Mets, but the Giants could be sellers as their season is down in the toilet again. Would a guy like Will Smith be somebody that the Red Sox would be interested in, and do they have enough capital to get a closer like him?
It's always interesting, you know, do we have enough capital? I mean, we're the highest salaried ball club in baseball. So the commitment by, you know, the ownership and the organization to provide resources is, you know, number one in baseball. But at the same time, you know, you've got to be realistic. And that was one of the problems. You know, I certainly don't blame Craig Kimbrell for looking for a bigger deal. But I think that, you know, if it looks like for certain that Nathan is going to be in the bullpen, then I think that's the reason that you see the possibility that you'll look to fill that extra spot in the rotation with somebody that's not on the club right now.
Tony, as we come out of the All-Star break and head towards the trade deadline, people always start talking buyers and sellers and what are teams pursuing. And generally this time of year, the type of trades that unfold are a contender trading prospects for a proven player, somebody that can help them to a team that is out of it, a seller. Does this team have the farm system to make those types of trades? I'm not an expert on it, but you read some of the experts, and it seems like some people believe there's just lacking of prospects that would lead to those types of deals.
Well, yeah, I think it's what's happening was that, as you know, we made some prospect deals, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, and that's what provided, you know, the three straight playoff appearances plus the World Series. But, you know, you're asking my opinion. I'll give it to you. I've been down for 2 years now. In spring training and into observing our, you know, we're definitely stocking the minor leagues again with legitimate prospects. And we do have the process. You want to make a deal, but I know that there's a very strong sentiment that this is a good time to rebuild and refresh our minor leagues so that we can keep making deals in the future. And if you want to try and make a one-shot deal for a guy that's a free agent or something and give up some prospects, that probably doesn't make a lot of sense for our club. And the other thing, too, which I think is kind of unfair when the experts look at it, if you look at our ball club that's on the field, you know, whether it's Devers and, you know, shortstop, third baseman, the outfielders, those are all products of the minor leagues. And they're all young guys in their 20s. So, you know, we have made some deals. There have been some prospects traded. But the results have been that we've gotten a very complete roster. And I think now it's, I'm not the guy that makes a final call, but I think you got to be very careful now that we're starting to rebuild that minor leagues with making a deal that's going to strip us again, and you only the benefit you get is just the rest of the year.
Tony La Russa on the Front Office Report brought to you by Cumberland Farms. Tony, in terms of this team and Nathan Eovaldi, who they said he's going to be brought out of the bullpen to be put in that role, how concerned are you with the guy who has never done that before in terms of has zero saves in his career?
Not at all, actually. Just real quickly, you know, I worked for many years with a pitching coach named Dave Duncan, and Dave's favorite reliever closer to look to was a guy who had been a starter, who has been used to getting outs with different pitches and feeling different, and especially is used to pitching in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, and that's what Nathan has. I mean, he proved that last year several times in the postseason. So he's got the experience to control his emotion. He's definitely got the electric stuff. I guarantee you, he comes out of that pen, there isn't any hitter in any club in baseball that's going to look forward to having to get a rally going against him. So I just think the key is, you know, get him used to pitching more often and being very careful with his usage.
Tony, you mentioned earlier getting the starting pitching going, and obviously that starts with your ace, Chris Sale, who at the break had some comments about being as frustrated as he's ever been playing baseball, not performing anywhere near the level he wants to be at. What do you make of those comments, and how do you shake him out of that funk that he's in?
That's being human and being accountable. I mean, you know, Chris has stood up and said over and over again when he thought he could have done better. But, you know, here's an interesting perspective, I think, that I was taught and we believed in. If you take your starters, you take your closers, you take your run producers, you know, they build their season with wins and saves and RBIs and the batting average. So when you start getting a guy into the halfway part of the season and you're one of the studs and you're not building on that momentum, it's really difficult to overcome it. And what you try to do is just really concentrate on the next time you have a chance to go out there. And what you do is, and I know we're Alex and Tim and Andy are already doing it. One thing we can really get going for our club is just go out there and get them a bunch of runs, get them some wins, just to reverse that kind of negative flow. But it's this is always going to come down to men and his guys are men, not machines, man. And when you're off to a slow start, and you start to try to force results, the opposite happens. So we've got to pick Chris up and get him some runs.
Tony, you know what it's like to try to defend a World Series title. You won it three times in your career. It's defending it, which is the tough part. And you look at last year where it seemed like everything went right for this team. 17-2 record to start out the season, 108 wins in the regular season. And this year, a lot of things have gone wrong. Is there something that you could pinpoint, one or two things, what would you attribute it to?
Well, the first thing I look at, fellas, is, you know, one of the beauties and one of the things I knew just to fascinate the heck out of me and our staff, that every year is different. I mean, you have spring training. I mean, it's a blank canvas, and you're going to be throwing situations and challenges and adversities and surprises on a positive side. And I think it's just part of it. It's just a brand new season. Not everything falls into place. You know, even last year, you know, we had our setbacks. You remember, you know, Price went down for a while. So, you know, it wasn't like it was adversity-free. This year, you know, we've had trouble getting it going. Our starters have, you know, thrown a lot of pitches early so they don't get deep in the game. Our offense has been a little sporadic. But the key is, and that's one of the beauties of 162 games, if you're good enough, you'll show up. You'll show up. And I think we were all really encouraged that a lot of teams that last week of the All-Star break, they get off early, and we went 5-1. So I think we're sitting in a real good position to make a rush. And I just think it's part of the newness of the new season. And also, you know, you got to admit, when you come off a season like that, you know, you have a tendency to celebrate a little longer than you should. And it's just human nature. You got to get that, you know, strong dose of reality. But I think our club has it now.
Tony, I spent almost 20 years covering your buddy Bill Belichick, and he knows as well as anyone how to deal with that turning of the page, you know, from a Super Bowl 1 year to starting over, starting fresh, getting the players to buy into that idea that everything is new and you have to earn everything. We heard Stephon Gilmore saying it this week. You got to earn everything each year. Is there any organizational regret with anything that was done in spring training, the way you approach the start of the season or spring training and maybe not turning the page? Even Alex Cora referencing last year during some early season struggles. Has there been any regret to the approach of defending the title?
Yeah, that's a great question. And first of all, it's a great example to bring up with Bill. And, you know, my take on it is that you cannot give Bill enough credit because nobody does it like he does and his staff. And therefore the players, how they absolutely stop thinking about the past success and they really start at zero. But I'll bet you if you looked at Bill's record, he learned that lesson somewhere early in his career. And then he's just been a tiger about just grabbing it by the neck and making it happen. I don't think there's really a regret, because there's such a strong character in this club that everybody believes in each other, including players and coaches. I just think that, you know, once you go through and you see sometime when you try to click it on, it's not clicking on, you'll go back and say, you know, I think I learned. So instead of regret, I think it's been a learning experience that Bill went through. And I really believe, as sharp as Alex is and the coaches and the kind of character we have in his club, I mean, they'll look back and say, you know, I think we could have done, paid more attention to this or that, and you learn from it. You don't regret it. You just learn.
You know, Tony, before we let you go, you were the manager of that Bash Brothers team with Canseco, McGuire. You won it all in 89. You probably should have three-peated. That team was so loaded. But being the manager of, I think, in my lifetime, the greatest leadoff hitter in baseball history, Ricky Henderson, and some of the story, he was just such an unbelievable. When I think of baseball player, I think of Ken Griffey Jr. and Ricky Henderson. And there was a funny story that came out there, that when Ricky Henderson played with John Olerud in the Mets, he said to him, you know, I used to play with a guy who wore a helmet at first base in Toronto. And John Olerud said, hey, Ricky, it was me. Do you have a right. funny anecdotal Ricky story that you can tell us?
Well, I got a bunch of them, but I'll qualify with this. You know, that makes Ricky come off as kind of, you know, maybe not the sharpest tack, but Ricky is a really smart guy. He's very, very in tune. I mean, you know, he didn't have the best grammar education, but Ricky was, you know, he had to be self-possessed, because there was always a target on his back. And by the way, I went for 10 years, my first 10 years manager, went against him, and he was the most dangerous player of all the great players in the American League. He was the most dangerous. So the chance to have him on your team. You know, I think the thing about that was that I didn't understand at first, you know, Ricky talks in the third person, you know, Ricky needs this, Ricky needs that. And we had to come to an understanding about when it was a day that he should take a break. And it started out, he'd go to the trainer come to me, and I said, oh, no, Rick, you're not going to have this relationship. Well, Ricky can't go. And so I finally understood that what Ricky knows his body, when he felt like his legs were getting tired and he might pull something, you know, then he would say, I need a day off. And it's just a matter of communicating. And but at first, I was kind of resistant to it, because what do you mean Ricky can't go? Ricky got to go. And once you understand and you believe and you trust him, which I definitely learned to do, you realize just how great a player he is.
No doubt about it. Tony, listen, we appreciate you making the time.
I enjoyed it, man. Anytime.
Okay, thanks, Tony. There he is. Tony Russo, Baseball Hall of Famer, and a guy, four-time Manager of the Year, a three-time World Series champion, Ricky Henderson, man. Oh, awesome. My God. It's like, if you didn't get a chance to see him in the prime of his career, he had like a near 20-year career. And you know what? He did not... He certainly was not someone who had a lot of humility and modesty when he broke Lou Brock's record in 1991. He said, today I am the greatest. But he was.
Wasn't wrong.
He backed it up. He backed it up in every way.
Can you imagine the fear, though, if you're a pitcher holding him on, when you just look over and he takes that lead and those quads
are right.
just like staring you in the, like, he's going. And there's really nothing I can do about it.
Nothing.
That just lack of ability to stop him is amazing.
He was the quintessential baseball player. If I think of, like I said, him, Ken Griffey Jr. Coming up next, this has gone viral. This dude is going on a bizarre tirade. Be careful at your local bagel shop or convenience store now. Oh, we'll get to this. You don't want to miss this next. Dale and Keith with Mark and Hart on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And
sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to Dale.
Dropping deuces right in front of you.
And Keith.
TV, movies, video games, beer, and my dog. It's all I need.
On WEEI.
Why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that up? Yeah. Everywhere I go, I get the same f***ing smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss. Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not scared.
Al, enough.
You shut up, dude.
You shut the f*** up.
You got an attack?
Yeah. Big the f***.
Oh my god! I recorded the whole thing.
All right, what is that? You might be asking right now. That was yesterday, as we understand, at a Long Island bagel shop, as some irate customer goes off in a 45-second clip that has gone absolutely viral. In a Bayshore location, as I mentioned, in Long Island. And let me tell you this, the audio doesn't do it justice.
No.
That he does, like some dude comes in out of nowhere, some big dude, at least bigger compared to him. And I mean, just like decapitates the guy. And then the video cut out for me. Did you see him the rest of it? Like, because after that, the video I watched after he got hit, it cut out.
Well, he goes, somebody escorts him out, and then there's like a second video of them sort of yelling just outside the window. Another gentleman who's dealing with him. But now we're hearing there's other videos.
Yeah, and that this is...
That it maybe this is like a serial thing that he does, and maybe this is just a YouTube viral... Because I don't know if he gets any money out of it, but just gets some attention, well, and some buzz.
Employees at the Bagel Boss chain there in Bayshore, New York, in Long Island, said the man did not appear to be a regular. He walked in around 9 a.m. yesterday, quote, screaming about the dating sites and how women hate him, end quote. And Diana Reyes, who filmed the Deranged episode, said that her and her three friends were waiting to order when they overheard him be rude to a female worker. She said, quote, my friend was like, she's just trying to do her job. Leave her alone, the 18-year-old Reyes said. But the comment released a rush of rage from the man as he hurled misogynistic comments at the line of customers. It was insane. I personally never heard anyone say that. But to be there in person, it's insane to see that someone has that mind process who began... Reyes began recording in case, quote, God forbid anything happen. In the video, he just gets, I mean, some dude comes and goes, yeah, you want to go too? And the dude just comes in and, I mean, nails him. And I don't know if police were involved, but workers identify at the Bagel Boss praised the unidentified patron who tackled the angry customer. They told the New York Post, quote, he is our hero. If he didn't tackle him, it would have gone on and on. Oh, listen to this, and I didn't know this too. This customer, he didn't pay for his order. A whole wheat bagel with one egg white and Swiss cheese. So Suffolk County cops said they responded to the fight. There were no injuries and no charges were filed. The video has, I mean, it's gone viral. And even Chrissy Teigen is tweeting about it.
Tens of millions of people, I believe, have watched it now.
Yes.
Last time I'd heard about it. Something smells funny to me. Like, it just doesn't seem quite right. And I like how he prioritizes the people that have any authority over him. It's God, his father, and his boss are allowed to talk to him like that. Nobody else. But I something stinks. In this modern era of videos going viral,
right.
Something smells funny here.
Right. Well, here's the thing. So even if, And I don't know, but there's a report, we'll play it for you, that he did something at a 7-Eleven, that there's a video of him at a 7-Eleven as right. well, which I have not heard this yet. We can play for you once we get this thing completely, because there's some things in there that you don't want on the air. But so my question, when anybody does something, my first question is why? Why did they do that? What's the MO? What's the payoff? What's the incentive? So to me, if you want your video to go viral, congratulations, you've done it. I just don't, like, is there something that, you know, he's going to get? Is he going to be on
15 Steven? Seconds of fame?
Yeah, I don't know. Is
seconds now, by yeah, the way. Not minutes.
Not seconds. Minutes. It's seconds. Like, is Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Kimmel or Fallon? I don't know.
Especially not, as you alluded to, some inappropriate yeah. things in other videos that are, it's no longer fun or funny. Now it's untouchable. And I would also say, if it is real, then this guy needs help.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a ticking time bomb. This yeah. can escalate. You know, this is just yelling and then some guy tackles him. Where does this go from here if he's really as volatile as he makes it out to be in this video? This is a whack job. Because listen, I'm short. It is what it is. Maybe not as short as him, but I'm short. I deal with it. You're tall. You deal with the advantages that come with being tall.
I mean, can I tell you? I hated until I went to Miami being tall. I was insecure about it.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I hate it.
Everybody wants to be taller.
Right. You know why? Can I blame this on one guy? Paul Heyman, the former boss of ECW, who's in charge of Raw now, he told me a lot of times he couldn't have me in the middle of the ring announcing wrestlers because when Taz got in there, he's 5'9", and I'm taller than Taz.
Right.
So he's like, and it made me insecure. So thanks a lot, Paul Heyman, but I'm not insecure about it anymore. It's all good. So we have the video, or excuse me, the audio of him at a 7-Eleven doing this before.
5:30 in the morning, and this right here asks me, what is my height? Now, what do you got to say about that? I come in here to give you guys a lot of business, right? A lot of business. I just got, whoa, hold on a minute. I just bring this to the counter, right, to pay for my. You don't say hi, how you doing? The first thing out of your mouth is, what's my height? What are you laughing at? What are you f***ing laughing at?
I'm laughing. That is my.
You know, you're not sorry. You're full of. How can you sit here and make fun of somebody, okay, and then all of a sudden, you're sorry? You're not sorry, dude.
Go to police station.
I'm gonna call the police. I'm gonna call the fucking police. And I'm gonna make another fucking video of it when they get here right now.
All right, let me grab this guy real quick, and I think I kind of know what's up. Dylan's in a car. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I gotta say, 100% hoax.
Yeah. Yeah, hearing that one, yeah, it's a hoax. He's just,
now,
and why is someone just, like, the girl, or the like they talked about on this one, Reyes, the 18-year-old girl, like, this day and age when you're in a public place, everyone's going to, you know, get their phone out, and they're going to be Steven Spielberg or Martin Scorsese. That, right. To me, why was someone taping at that 7-Eleven right there? This was all set up.
So I don't think the bagel shop was in on it, and I don't think
no.
the 7-Eleven was in no. on it. I think it's, you know, he's obviously a small guy, and he starts chirping, and people break out their phones and film him. I don't think he has a film crew. I don't believe that, but it reminds me of, like, a WWE backstage skit.
Yeah, yes,
it does.
You know?
Yeah, so, yeah, and he's sort of, he's doing his best Joe Pesci.
Yeah,
right? But
he nailed it.
He does nail it. He does nail it, but it's like, how can someone get so mad over something so innocuous?
But do you believe for even a half a second that somebody just walks up to a counter, puts a donut and a coffee on the counter, and the person behind the counter goes, what's your height?
No.
No chance.
No, nobody does that.
No chance. It's no, so no. unbelievable.
Not this. Nobody does that. No. And then for him to go off yesterday about the women on dating sites, he wanted to go viral. Congratulations. Right. Golf clap. You did it. You've gone viral. I don't know what that does for you. I certainly don't think that does much for your employment status. I don't think if your bosses found out that this is you, that they're going to want to employ the guy. And by the way, we played an edited version of the 7-Eleven one. Amen. He says some things that, some ethnic slurs.
Yeah, not good.
Which are really bad.
I don't understand how he could benefit at all, except financially, if he thinks. But like, it's not going to help his dating life. Or if he's married and this is all a hoax, he's actually married. Not going to help your marriage.
It's certainly not going to help your employment status. It's
that bleep crazy.
Yeah, if your employer sees that, you're fired.
So, but it's a sickness, right? They all want a little attention or a little viral internet action. Whatever. Everybody's tougher online. They want to be stars online. But at least the people that are good at it turn it into money.
Yeah.
I don't think he's turning it into any money.
No, no, no. But we can have a laugh about it. All right. Coming up next hour, we'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. So, as we know, the Celtics lost their only two All-Stars, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. And some comments by head coach Brad Stevens will put things in perspective about each player. What do we mean? We'll get back to that next, right here on Dale and Keefe with Mark Inhart.
Like 5:30 in the morning, and this right here asks me, what is my height?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.